A sprawling desert of green and blue as far as the eye can see. A patchwork of massive fingerprints frozen in time, like an ocean glass. It is a perilous journey to pass through its cold, unyielding valleys and crags. Yet, in the center of this expanse lies the jewel of the waste itself. A floating archipelago, hanging far above treacherous Mar, a refugee haven and a slice of paradise for those who survive the trek. You, lucky, privileged, haunted you, are among them. And you are invited to experience a moment in the life of one, me, moi, and discover what happened in the Malachite Waste.
Victoria, what were you dreaming about last night just before you woke up?
Is it a nightmare or a dream?
You decide.
I think it's a nightmare. I think that in her nightmare, she keeps opening doors and there's no one behind them. She's alone. She hears something off in the distance that she keeps looking for. She hears laughing. She can't find it. That's what I think she's dreaming about.
When she wakes up this morning, does she remember that dream?
Vividly. It's the same dream, really, every night, but who's counting?
As you get up in the morning, what is the sound or feeling or sensation that wakes you to greet this brand new day?
I imagine the windows automatically rise up. And the sunlight hits her face, her beautiful drow face. She doesn't need a pesky alarm clock. It's too loud, too noisy. But the sunlight is just enough.
Her so carefully attuned to the ways of the world, but the sunlight itself is delicate enough to rouse Victoria from her slumber with this feeling of this dream that she's had again and again. Is that easily shaken off in the morning, or is that something that is still sitting as she gets ready for the day?
It's the constant, I guess, nagging, like a knock, always at the door. But when she gets up, it's about sunrise, so I'd say about 6 o'clock. And she automatically gets up and starts her morning run with like a green guava smoothie that can only be found in the Malachite Waste. And she's like running through the town. Just a daily morning run.
Describe what an onlooker would see as Victoria is running. What does she look like? How does she carry herself?
So I imagine like some of the neighbors, you see like this old man walking his dog, you know, and it's really early and the dog just like had to get up at this time because it just had to go out, right? Mm-hmm. And so you see this man just kind of like try and pick up the poop that the dog, you know, tried to get up, and you just bowled over by this very tall drow woman who's like built like a brick house. And what I mean by that is like Victoria is the type of person that is very conscious of the vibe that she's given off, especially as a drow woman, right? And she's also very tall, and her like jawline is so sharp, and she has this very long pin straight like white hair that's wrapped up in a ponytail that kind of like brushes each shoulder as like she takes a step, right? And she has her very, very like pristine, like almost out of the bag, brand new workout set that she's also wearing. And as soon as like the guy starts to like pick up, his eyes are like automatically on Victoria.
There's a like a power to it, but it's also very curated, right? That's what it sounds like. Like,
yes, very curated.
Very clean, even in something as dirty as exercise. It's very like, there's a very, I see that image of her like running toward like in a Nike commercial, right? Where she's
yes.
just like barely breaking a sweat, but like somehow putting her all into it. When she goes on her morning runs, is it part of her routine as a maintenance thing? Is it trying to prove something? Why run in the morning before school every day?
Victoria is a type of person that is hyper aware of what everyone thinks, right? And she has gone her entire life making it look natural when it's like the exact opposite of natural. It's like a well-oiled machine. That's the type of presence that Victoria brings, right? It's like, you're not going to find a loose hair. You're not going to find like an untied shoelace. It's that like very clean aesthetic.
The kind of person who runs you over when you're walking your dog and you feel guilty for getting in their way as this old man sort of tries to collect himself and get back up and is like ready to kind of pick a fight and then sees that it's Victoria and is like, just gonna keep that to myself, like move along with my day.
Pretty much, yeah.
Does she still live with her parents or does she live independently?
She goes to a private institution, but somehow, some way, she does not live on the campus grounds. And somehow, some way, her parents probably, like, through a very large donation, allowed her to live off campus.
So she's set up in her own personal set apart. They say that the root of the word sacred is to be set apart from something. And there she has this sacred, right? She in herself has this sacred object, the sacred domain. What does her morning routine look like when she's not around people? Does she seem natural or does she seem more structured? How does Victoria's solitude manifest?
I imagine Victoria, as she gets back from her run, you know, like takes like the towel that was already placed before she got there so she can have it ready, drinks her water, and like as like the sweat's like trickling down, she looks at she has a mirror right before she goes out the door, and she looks at it like really quickly, and she looks at her sweaty self like for a very long time. And like you could hear like maybe like like a teapot just like constantly going and rising, and then breaks eye contact and just in the quickest, most efficient way gets ready for the day. So like face routine, shower, exfoliation, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And like in a perfect like 20 minutes is in her uniform ready to go.
Incredible. Already as she is getting ready for school, her crystal, wherever that she keeps that in the house, like her phone, is buzzing. After she gets back from her run, probably every 5 or so minutes, she's getting a different buzz. How involved do you think she is in things like extracurriculars, or is she above that kind of stuff? Like, what kind of organizations would she be involved in, or clubs, that kind of thing?
I imagine, like, if she's going to do it, like, something like track would be really cool, because very solo.
Would you say that she would be a captain, or do you think that's too much responsibility?
No, she would be a captain. Because you can't have other people in control.
No, of course not.
It's a waste.
It's a waste. What year do you think she is in school?
Oh, I think that she would be impossibly on top. She's not a freshman, but I believe that she would be a sophomore.
She's getting texts from the track team congratulating her on being the youngest captain that the team has had. She actually even has a message from the coach that's like, you know, we usually don't do this. You are setting a precedent for the younger students. Really proud to have you on the team. Like, make sure you're a good role model. Like, you're getting all these little, like, these tryouts happened fairly recently. And it is unheard of that you would be this young and taking leadership with another person. You actually also have a co-captain who's a senior who is... I can't imagine Victoria would be thrilled about that.
It depends on who it is.
Not somebody that Victoria was super familiar with. She's a much sportier girl. She's someone who has been on the track team since freshman year. So if Victoria did track before, she's probably familiar. She was probably the captain the year before as well. Do you think that Victoria would take the time to become friends with the captain as someone in a position of power, or see her as a threat, or both of those things at once?
I think that this person would have no idea how Victoria feels about her. You know, truly, at the end of the day, like, feels about her. And Victoria, being the person that she is, has studied this person religiously. But is not going to break a sweat, though. Obviously not going to break a sweat. Very, like, you know, but gives the appearance of very, like, nonchalant.
So you actually see a message ding in from your fellow captain, Kiva. And just says, don't forget, first team practice of the year. So excited to work with you. 3 exclamation points.
I snap the phone in half. And then I go get a new one and replace the SIM card with a brand new one.
Incredible. No contacts had. How does Victoria get to school?
How far away is the school is the question. Is it around the corner?
Here's what I'm thinking. The academy that you go to is in the heart of the upper city and in a district not far from what they call the Marbles. The Marbles, this beautiful district full of mansions and beautiful townhouses and the jeweled gardens, which is, you know, if Central Park was made of trees that are made of jewels, right? This varied sense of like decadence and beauty. The academy is not far from there. It's not in the center of the Marbles because that would be a little bit too pointed. But I can imagine that Victoria has an apartment adjacent to this neighborhood. And while her parents are very hands-off, they want to make sure that she's getting safely to and from the academy. So I can't imagine she would be any more than a few blocks unless she picked that way on purpose without her parents' knowledge.
I think she would live with that. I think the more important thing is like how she's rolling and stuff. I think she walks to school, but not because she doesn't have a car. But I think she walks to school to, like, get in the zone. And somebody gives her a ride home anyways.
Obviously. And it's very unusual to be able to have a car in the city proper anyway. So if she's getting a ride, it's from the taxi services that have permits or, like, a diplomat's kid who's allowed to, like, have a car in the city sort of thing. As you get to the academy, it's a beautiful building, and it's one of those places that may have been here for a long time, but you wouldn't know it from its exterior because the funding that an academy such as this gets, that it's state of the art. Lots and lots of glass used, very big windows. It's a little bit open concept because obviously, like, we strive for excellence, and excellence needs to be found with both discipline and also, you know, children and young adults leading the future need to be able to express themselves and make those decisions for their own. If we're making young leaders, we need to teach them to lead. You are the type of person, as you enter the school, that it's more likely that people around you will whisper as you pass than they will greet you face to face, even if the whispers are in awe. And you can already tell as you start walking in the gates this morning that the fact that you are... Actually, I'm going to have you make a roll. Make me a charisma check, please.
Ooh, okay. Okay, 17 plus 1, that's an 18.
Incredible. There's a type of power that radiates from Victoria, and again, also as a wizard, that this person is incredibly cool, but not necessarily, like, you have to get permission to approach, right? But the vibe from everyone is, like, almost across the board is, like, you hear the sense of kind of your name. As a wizard, knowing that words have power and that names have power, the evocation of your name around this school, you feel it in your bones. You feel that power that you have in this place, even though as you walk through it, you are isolated by it.
Interesting.
What does Victoria do? Do they have friends that they approach to spend time with, or do they wait for people to come to them, the people that they have decided are worth their time?
I imagine the people that actually matter are already in the place that I need them to be, with a probably cold brew waiting for me.
There is a beautiful, as you kind of walk into this, there's this beautiful courtyard. It's kind of a circular structure. People have pointed out it feels sort of like a panopticon. Like that it's easy being surrounded by glass walls in a circular kind of courtyard that everyone can see anyone at any time. And I think for some people, there's that sense of like, oh, the teachers are always watching us, we're being monitored. And for others, it's a sense of everyone can view me as I am meant to be viewed. You see two, probably the people that you might be closer with. There's a nymph. She has very, very long blonde hair. She's tied it back today. She's kind of done like a very like long braid situation. She definitely did not do it. She has either enchanted her hair to be that way or she got someone else to do it for her. She is, this nymph, Steffi, is very on her phone, on her crystal, engrossed in some kind of drama that's going on. And then there's Tegan. And they are a little bit more laid back. They are sort of, I think part of the reason they get along with Victoria is they're very laissez-faire. They don't really give a fuck what anybody is doing or saying. And they sort of give you a lazy like, Hello, as you walk into the courtyard and make yourself known. Tegan is the one who has the... Steffi's gotten the cold brews. Tegan is already drinking theirs. And Steffi, like, on the phone, like, while there, doesn't even look up at you and, like, literally lifts the coffee to give it to you without looking up.
Is the order right?
The order is right because it has been wrong in the past.
Saves her life today.
And you can feel the tension, like, as you pass it over, even though she doesn't look at you, you can feel that, like, waiting for you to taste it, waiting for you to make sure that it's okay, because otherwise the drama is going to be worse.
Is there school uniforms?
They do have school uniforms, yes.
Okay. I imagine Victoria has a slight alteration of the school uniform with very 80s power shoulders. Like, everyone has relaxed shoulders. It's very, like, a V-shape with her, like, blazer and, like, her plaid skirt going on. And somehow she's also wearing heels as well.
Incredible. And you see that Steffi has... It's very, like, subtle. Make a perception check.
That's a 4 plus 2.
Incredible. She kind of looks a little bit nicer today than usual, whether you decide to say that or not. But, like, she looks like she's kind of put herself together a little bit.
Interesting. I'm going to stop drinking my cold brew. I'm going to look her up and down. What's different about you today?
She doesn't look up from the crystal, but the fingers stop. Nothing. I just decided to do something different in my hair.
Oh, I thought you gained self-respect, but silly me. Interesting.
Tegan kind of, like, there's, like, this, like, snort laugh, just like, Steffi's trying this new thing. Have you heard about the little, like, mirror cantrip thing that's going around?
Has Victoria heard about it? I feel like she
has.
She has.
You can roll if you want to know, but it would be something that is very new, but is spreading very quickly.
You knew something before I did. You might be useful. Tell me.
I think of myself as somewhat useful. That's why you keep me around, I would assume.
No, it's not.
Flattered or insulted, and I can't tell which one. He kind of creates a little ball of, like, kind of like a purplish magic in his hand. He's like, they've been making this little thing you can kind of fix somewhere on yourself. And it projects kind of more of what you would want to see, right? Like, it's sort of like a filter. I can make, if I'm wearing one, I would look hotter to you by what your standards are. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Little enchantment, really interesting, but, and he kind of dispels it, and he's like, I don't really give a fuck about that, so.
Why not?
I don't know, I think I'm pretty hot on my own.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Who told you that?
All the guys whose dicks I sucked last year.
Name them.
It's gonna be a long list, my friend.
I said name them.
What?
And just, like, Victoria just maintains eye contact.
Make me a persuasion or an intimidation roll.
That is a 19 plus 3.
Incredible. Tegan gets a little, like, wry smile on his face. He says, I'll let you in on him. Do you want to see my little trick?
No.
And without caring about the response, sort of flicks his hand and... You see a bunch of the different guys who are hanging around the quad get, like, a little glow above them. You can look up the names by yourself. I don't remember them all.
Interesting. Is he lying is the question. Interesting. Okay.
You notice a couple of the guys, like, there's one guy who, like, notices it and it kind of, like, doesn't know what it is and kind of tries to, like, flick it off. So it's not something that is for your benefit only to see. It is something that apparently is an effect that other people notice.
Can I cast illusory script?
Yes. Yes, you can. What does the illusory script say?
I'm going to write on, like, the lockers. Just
incredible.
Like, just, like, write, like, in bright red, you know?
Yeah.
Whoever it may be, like, something like, so-and-so likes to suck. And that's it.
So... Everybody that is on the names of Tegan's conquests, you write that on their lockers?
Yes.
Incredible. with illusory script, how long does that last? And is there a parameter of who can see it and who can't?
You'll write on a parchment paper or some other suitable writing material and imbue it with a potent illusion that lasts for the duration. To you and any creatures you designate when you cast a spell, the writing appears normal, written in your hand, and conveys whatever meaning you intended. To all others, the writing appears as if it were written in an unknown or magical script that is unintelligible. So for everyone that actually sucked a dick, it's something totally, it's like, the real message is so-and-so likes to suck.
Yeah.
And for everyone who, like, is highlighted.
They can't read it?
Yeah, they can't read it.
Incredible. So across the school, there starts to be, as people are kind of dispersing and getting ready, like giggles as people pass, and it says, Devin likes to suck. Randy likes to suck. Cairo likes to suck. And the people who has now that gold has dissipated from above, there's a sense of confusion because they can't read what the thing is. As the whispers are growing and you see a couple people realize, there's some shame reaction, but there's also, I think, the consequence of some of these guys did not necessarily know about one another. And with the context of their shared friend groups, perhaps, Tegan is getting some very hurt and dirty looks from this.
What does Steffi say?
Steffi, first of all, immediately as this happens, Steffi's phone is blowing up. Oh my God. Oh my God. You sucked Ryan's dick? Oh no, Ryan sucked your dick? Whose dick did we suck? Ryan. Savannah is pissed off. Savannah's, oh God. Yeah, she definitely thought they were exclusive. So that's not the best thing in the world. We're blowing up, baby. Okay, apparently Aaron Taylor is going around asking people why there's Draconic on his locker, and they keep telling him that it means he has a dragon dick, and so he's bragging about it.
Oh no.
Oh boy. And Tegan is just like, well, now you've successfully limited my summer hookups for the next year. I want you to know that.
It's not my fault that you shit where you eat.
It's not my fault that I have an appetite.
Appetite. I'm just gonna look them up and down and just keep drinking my cold brew. I'm just gonna store that in my memory banks for later.
Make an insight check to Tegan and Steffi.
Okay. That is a 10 plus 2, a 12.
You're not getting a lot from either of them on face value. They're both used to this type of thing from you. What I think you see is every once in a while, if Tegan has to make eye contact with one of these guys, they are a little uncomfortable in that moment. Steffi seems to be getting energized and delighted the more her phone is blowing up. Olin and, what's that little weird guy? What's that little weird guy from the that little nerdy one. And Keegan's like, which little nerdy one? And he's like, Fred. Olin and Fred, they were like an item. They are like in the bathroom right now having a huge fucking blowout right now. Should we like get eyes in there? Or do you want me to like get someone to record something, see what's going on? Because that would be, that's got to be pretty funny.
Victoria is already on to the next meal. The,
incredible.
Like the chaos like bomb just went off. You know, it's already going off. So she's already on to the next.
She doesn't need to know the consequences. That's not the fun part. The fun part
exactly.
is starting it. There's laughter and there's some bickering and there's some fighting that you going on, but you aren't affected by any of it. There's no writing on your locker. Keegan and Steffi sort of trail behind you as you go to your locker and you get ready for whatever your next class is. They fall into step behind you. And as much as Keegan would like to act as though they care so little, their proximity to you is a shield in this situation because no one's going to come up and say anything right to his face when you're standing next to them.
Victoria's going to take note of that and use it for later. She doesn't say anything immediately. She just clocks it.
What do you think the first class of the day Victoria goes to is? Knowing Victoria, I wouldn't be surprised if she has elected herself into some electives that usually are not allowed for her grade or her status.
Definitely. How about like AP potions?
Incredible. She has an AP potions class, and the professor of that is sees Clocks Victoria and says, 2 minutes? 2 minutes? And then the door shuts, and if the door shuts, you're not getting in.
Oh, you can count. Splendid. I'm ready to get started when you are.
Oh, I hate sophomores. And she just walks back into the classroom.
What's the seating situation before I do what I want to do?
A seating situation in a class like this, it's a bit like imagine like a chemistry lab. So you're going to have bigger tables. You're going to have 3 to 4 students per table, probably like sharing a potion set. And staggered, it's a nicer school. So it's staggered high in the back, low in the front, so that the teacher can see everybody.
Who's the cutest person there?
Ooh, oh, that depends. I think you see, also it depends on what's Victoria's type is what the closest person would be. The cutest person would be. But like cute, like adorable, or cute, like in hot?
Hot.
Yeah, there is in the front row, there is a really beautiful like halfling girl who would have like, she has very, very curly pink hair. And there's definitely something a little bit like she has some kind of fey or something in her lineage, because like it is very hard when you interact with her not to be a little charmed. Like she's very just like bubbly and friendly. And then there is a guy who's a little more stocky, probably a little more athletic, but he's more into kind of like the student government scene. He's a little bit clean cut, this half orcish guy. His tusks are starting to come in. So it's like, it's more obvious that he's like a man, right? Like it's very kind of like he's gone through puberty. He's like filling out in a way that's a little more impressive. And then closer to the back, there's another person. You're not entirely sure. They don't tend to use pronouns that often, but they're just like, it's almost off-putting. Like there's something very like almost luminescent about them, that they seem that they have tucked themselves in the corner. They wear their uniform, like all the parts of their uniform to cover up for the most part, to like almost dim down that own shine. But even so, there's something that is very attractive about, it's almost like they're a person made of glass in some way. You know, they're very delicate featured, very fine featured, and almost translucent in a sense. You're not exactly sure like what species they may be, but they're very beautiful.
Okay, that one. That one, definitely. Victoria is going to very nonchalantly just sit next to this beautiful celestial person and very slyly put on very, very round glasses and just begin to read right next to him.
They sort of, you can tell that they tense a little bit when you sit right next to them. And it looks like they're glancing over to see what Victoria is reading.
Crime and Punishment, but the magical version of it.
The magical version of Crime and Punishment.
Yes.
So are you reading that for class or what?
No, I like to read. Like, Victoria is very like, being sincere is not her strong suit. So when she tries to be, it comes out robotic and wrong.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting. Hold up. Now I'm going to make a check. You can see on their face, they sort of clock the insincerity in a way, but also they're the kid sitting in the back of the classroom who isn't really talking to anybody. I think that Victoria can't exactly tell what the vibe of the next question of, okay, like, you like to read, but class is about to start, so, and you just opened the book.
Victoria is like, oh shit, there's a chink. In like 2 seconds, she has this like robot doing math in her head, like, how do I make this work?
Yeah.
For some reason, it's very difficult to get a very empathetic, inhumane response. And she's like, and?
It just, I don't know, that doesn't seem like it's enough time to read a lot.
I've already read it.
Oh, so
did you not think that I read it?
Oh, I mean, it was open, so I just assumed you were reading it now?
And like, in your attempt at empathy is already, the daggers are just like starting to like form around this person's head. Like, did this guy just call me stupid?
There's something about that response, the defensiveness, that actually takes this person aback a little. And they're like, oh, no. Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have assumed. Do you like it? I mean, if you've read it, like, you're carrying around, are you rereading it? Or, like, is it...
I wouldn't carry it if I didn't like it.
That's... I mean, I carry... And he, like, holds up the potions book and he's like, I gotta carry this around for most of the day, but...
She takes it. Just out of his hand. Just rips it and just, like, if it's actually a potion book.
Yeah, it's actually a potions book. It's just his textbook.
This is a trick. This is a trap, she's thinking to herself, like... What the fuck does he want? he don't get to ask questions. I ask the questions.
How much of that is shown on Victoria's face, or is she able to really keep that masked?
Even when someone is being genuinely nice to her, she sees it as a threat.
Yeah.
So, so she's like, this guy thinks that I'm stupid.
The bell rings. It's this kind of like, and your teacher at the front's like, hey, everybody, come on. Let's get seated. We want to be able to start this seminar today. Is everybody ready? Hey, Victoria, please give Mordecai his book back.
Mordecai. I look at him.
You could call me Kai because Mordecai is a terrible name.
I'm going to take the book and I'm going to write my sending stone number in it.
Do you give it back?
Yeah, I give it back. I like Mordecai better.
I'm gonna make a little saving throw for that. That Mordecai doesn't respond, like just looks at the number, the sending number, closes the book again, and kind of smiles to himself, and then opens it to whatever page that you guys are being directed to.
Interesting. I'm going to text Tegan and Steffi with my sending stone. What do you know about this Mordecai?
You hear back from Steffi immediately, and Steffi's got like stats. It's like Mordecai Nevins, half celestial, transferred in. This is his senior year. Doesn't do sports, doesn't do clubs. Nobody seems to know a lot about him. But one time, one of the junior girls asked if he wanted to go to homecoming with him, and he was super weird about it. Then she told everybody that he didn't have junk.
Which one? Who is that?
Which junior?
Yes.
She writes a name and it is Adriana Green.
Do I know her?
You know that she is a like very excitable junior girl, and that she's like in cheerleading, she's in glee club, she's really like activity centered. But she is very much likes to be the center of attention. And if something doesn't go her way, she's very quick to blow things up.
Is my illusory script still up?
How long does that spell last?
Oh, good question. 10 days?
Whoa!
Duration is 10 days.
Incredible. So yeah, I would say probably between classes that... someone would have dispelled the magic on it, but in like the hustle and bustle to get to class, it has been up the entire time.
Interesting. I just want to add her name to it.
That Adriana sucks dick.
Likes to suck.
Likes to suck. Incredible. It takes much longer. You're probably in the middle of class before Tegan finally responds, and just responds with like the magical shrug emoji and like panting emoji and like some water squirt emoji. And then, like, a gif from a popular show where it's like, Celestials do it better.
Oh, God. I'm going to study, like, Mordecai like a shark that's, like, circling its prey.
Do you hide doing that at all? Or is it very obvious? Like, are you obviously watching him? Or is it sort of subtle?
I'm trying to be as subtle as possible, even though Victoria is, like, the tensest person alive.
Roll me a stealth check, then.
Okay, stealth check. Plus two. 10 plus 2, another 12.
So I think as like classes started, the tables filled up. There's like a couple other students sitting at the table. And I think that it'll be this kind of thing where like there's one kid, the one gnome who's sitting and he's like, okay, guys, like let's get started on our project. Hey, Mordecai, could you pass that? And Victoria, would you just mind passing me some of the lotus leaves over there, please?
Victoria's going to take a mage hand and pick it up. and just as soon as it gets to him, just drop the mage hand so it clatters on the ground.
Okay, thanks, Victoria. And, like, he hops off his stool because he's a little shorter, and he, like, starts gathering it up. And, like, there's another girl who's sitting at your table who gives sort of a nervous laugh, and Mordecai kind of just gives you a, like, there's, like, a little bit of a, like, what? Why?
Did he not like that?
He just, like, dropped it on the floor instead of handing it to him, so, like, maybe not.
Like, Victoria's like, oh, fuck. Do I actually have to be nice?
Mordecai stands up and, like, helps this kid, like, scoop the lotus up and puts it in.
Excuse me. What are you doing?
Are you not familiar with the concept of, like, helping another person? Because you might not be. It doesn't super seem like it. I don't want to make assumptions with the whole, like, reading a book thing, but I'm, you know, working for the little interaction we've had.
He didn't ask for help. Did you? And I look at the gnome.
The gnome, his name is Gideon. He's like, nope, I'm fine. It's totally okay. Like, it's cool. Mordecai's like, all right. Let's just finish this, I guess.
Victoria's like, what the fuck? In her head, she's thinking to herself, like, what is the problem? Like, you know?
The other girl who's there, who's, like, between you guys, is like, there's, like, that very weird, like, energy. And she's just like, hey, Victoria, you're the new captain of the track team, right? That's really, really cool. Like, I didn't even know that sophomores were allowed to be captains of the teams.
Did you not think I was capable?
No, I just don't. I mean, I don't know a lot about track, but, like, of course you're capable. You're, like, really amazing. You're in this class and everything. So I just wanted to say congratulations because I think that's really cool.
Of course you don't know about track. Look at you. And what does this person look like?
She's like a some kind of wood nymph, so she's like made of bark, essentially.
Makes sense. Wood nymph. Probably stuck in place.
Mordecai kind of is like, wood nymphs are actually supposed to be like super good runners because they outran some gods and stuff. Like, you ever hear those legends? I think it's really cool that you're interested in Trek. And she's like, oh, I just thought it was nice to like say something to Victoria. And he's like, I think it's really cool if you're like asking about things that...
Victoria's going to cut her off, make like a tree, and leave.
The girl sort of, because this is an AP class, she's almost certainly older than you. You see her eyes sort of well with tears, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna go get some supplies from the back of the room. I'll be back in a second. I'm sorry. And she sort of scampers back to get some more supplies. And Mordecai is like, now, like, properly, like, staring at you.
Victoria's going to stand up and meet him at eye level. What is your problem?
What is your problem? What did that girl do to you?
And you could just hear.
Listen, it's great. It seems like you're very accomplished and everything, but that girl was just saying you did
there
a good job.
There is no but.
Okay, and that girl was just saying you were doing a good job and you were a total bitch to her.
And you just hear a faint snap in the background. What did you call me?
I didn't call you it. I was saying you're being one.
Okay. Victoria is going to step up, pick up her things, and leave the room.
And the professor, the teacher, is sort of like, Victoria, class isn't over yet. As you walk out, where does Victoria go?
Just like in the hallway. And you could just hear, like, the tea kettle just constantly. And I think, is there a statue nearby or, like, a large object?
For sure. There's definitely, like, this is one of those, like, kind of bougie schools. So there's, like, different art pieces that past students have donated and showing off the senior stuff. So there's like, portraits and statues and stuff in the halls everywhere.
Okay. She's going to take her very long wand that's like perfectly straight. She takes it with her hand kind of like shaking, and she's going to put it to her temple, and you just see this like long, like almost like glowing hair that's coming out of her forehead, just like, and just like pointed at the statue and cast magic missile.
And the statue is obliterated as this magic missile hits it. Like, it just shatters into pieces. It is not quiet. It is loud.
And then for a brief second, the tea kettle noise just, like, stops. And then she's going to calmly as she can walk back into the classroom.
You see, as you're walking back, like a couple of students and teachers have like poked their heads out into the hall to like see what the sound was. And one of the teachers is like, "Ugh, Victoria," and is already casting the spell to reform the statue after this, you know, act of vandalism, essentially. And he's like, "Victoria, come back here."
I stop and I don't look. And I just say, "How much?"
That's not the point, Victoria.
That's not what I asked. How much?
You fix it. You fix the statue and then it's not a problem.
I don't think you're hearing me. And like, you can just see like the glasses kind of like shake on her head. How much?
I think the teacher, like, there's something in the eyes where he's like, not a fight to start right now. Flicks his hand, fixes the statue, and steps back into the classroom. Like, this is not a conversation we're going to have right now.
I just keep walking then.
You go back into the classroom?
No. I'm going to find Adriana.
So it's getting to be probably the end of the period. Do you try to find Adriana in whatever classroom she's in?
Yes.
Make a investigation or a history check to know where Adriana's at.
Okay. History is plus 5.
Okay. Incredible.
Okay. That's 11 plus 5. That's a 16.
All right. So based on the like massive reports that you've been able to get from Steffi in general, you know that Adriana is in, she's in essentially just like a regular mathematics class right now on the third floor, and that she's a junior, so it's like a probably an AP mathematics course of some kind. They also do a lot of applied, like, how does math and magic work together? But she seems less interested in that than the math part of it.
Where can I get a fake hall pass or like a fake doctor's note from?
Ooh, interesting. So here's the thing. You know that Steffi would probably know. And if you text her, she will direct you to a group of kind of like, sort of magic stoners. They're the guys and girls and theys who hang out and sort of like, they're who you go to for like a fake ID if you're trying to get like something around the city. And yeah, like easy trade and hall passes, like super simple copy spells. They've even figured out like the teachers were trying to get around fake hall passes by putting like little like signets essentially inside the hall passes. And they're like, all you'd have to do is break open one of them, get one of the real ones, and then use a copy spell on that. Like these guys, they know where it's at. So it would be pretty simple to essentially like, there's a bathroom not far away on the third floor where you know that one of these, the stoners kind of always operates out of during school hours.
Victoria's going to walk up to them. How much for a fake doctor's note?
Oh, you trying to get out early? Yeah, 5 gold?
I give him 10.
Okay. Somebody really wants to get out of gym today.
Not exactly. I'm going to instruct him to make it that it's from a like a nearby clinic.
Okay. And he listens, writes down everything you say, and seems to not have any particular moral qualms with this. You paid him. Hands you the doctor's note. Yeah, anytime, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to go back to where Adriano is, and I'm going to knock on the door.
The teacher opens the door. Sorry, can I help you? We're in the middle of class right now.
Hello, Professor. And I say this at the door, loud enough for everyone in the classroom to hear. I have a note from the office regarding an Adriana.
And, you know, the teacher looks at it and it looks kind of official. Adriana, can you come here for a second? And Adriana is, you know, kind of bubbly and perky and comes over and is like you can see, like, on her face, like, is a note from the office? What do they want?
And I say this loud enough, but casually. Something from the local clinic. Something about something being positive. I don't know, but you can read it for yourself. And I walk away.
She takes the note from you. Her face is, like, bright red. And you can hear immediately the room erupt into whispers as you walk away.
And this is the one time she waits and listens to what they're saying.
You hear, what is the note actually? It says positive, but positive for?
The fantasy equivalent for chlamydia.
What you hear as it goes around is like everybody sit down. Come on, it's not important. Adriana, do you want to step out, you know, step out and read it? And she's like, no, it's fine. It's nothing. It's like, and you can hear like kind of a rustling as somebody tries to grab it. And she's like, stop. Hey, give that back. And you hear this enchantment of almost like an AI sounding voice, like a fake voice.
Dear Adriana Green, we regret to inform you that you have been tested positive for polycrabs. If you would like to come down to our clinic in the next 5 to 10 business days to accept our medication.
And you can hear the teachers immediately trying, like, no, 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 and trying to like to dispel magic, and the kids are laughing, and you hear like Adriana is like, you do not hear Adriana's voice. What you do hear is a couple people around being like, oh my God, like, are you really like, are you okay? Do you want to go? We can go to the clinic with you tomorrow if you want. Oh my God, it's probably not even that bad of a thing because you can just take meds and then, but like, did you not like Aiden or like, who was it? No, like, that's not important. We don't have to talk about that. And you just hear like the little like soft cacophony of the voices immediately around her as she says nothing. And then after a moment of this kind of like, everybody's kind of like talking around her and the teacher is failing to kind of get control over the room, you hear like the scent of a like chair, like scooting out from a desk. And it's like, okay, are you guys all happy? You got your little laugh about it? Are you happy about this? Because like, I have to go to the doctor and it's none of your guys' business anyway. And my medical history is none of your business. And my sex life is none of your business. And you hear the chair like fall to the ground, clatter to the ground. And you just watch her like stomp, like rush out of the classroom. And as the room sort of erupts like in like noise behind it, you hear kind of like a thunderclap sound. And the teacher is like,
everybody shut up and sit down.
And that's the sort of like tableau of it.
Victoria listens and watches this from the distance. And just, you can see just the tea kettle silence in her head. And I'm going to follow Adriana.
You follow? Adriana is like made like this big thing in the classroom. And she's the kind of person who, you know, at lunch, she is going to be like telling everybody, like, I have to do this and I'm going to be really brave about it because I'm not going to be shamed about sex. Like, she's going to like really try and spin it to get attention as much as possible. But for now, what you do is you see her slip into essentially what's like a broom closet and just close the door behind her.
Victoria straightens up. She stops the illusory script on her locker. Everyone else but her. Like, she stops on her locker, which is Adriana's, and just has a half step of regret. She thinks to herself, will this hurt her or Mordecai? And then she just straightens up and then she knocks on the door.
You can just hear from the other side, somebody like,
go away.
Dear, is everything okay? Please, it's just me.
No, I don't really want to see anybody right now.
Dear, if anybody knows anything about being embarrassed or embarrassing other people, it's me. Come on.
Victoria, if you just came to make fun of me, I can't do it right now, okay?
Dear, if I wanted to make fun of you, I already would have.
She opens the door like a crack, and you see she's like been like sobbing.
Oh, dear, come here. And she gives her a wonderful, the biggest attempt of sincere that Victoria has.
And Adriana, like, there's that kind of desire to be close and to be, and then I think just the touch, a sense of touch and a comfort from another person. And she like really like leans into it and she just starts like chest heaving, crying.
And Victoria thinks to herself, excellent.
Oh my God, it's so evil. Incredible.
Dear, it's not your fault. Sometimes when we have sexual partners and we don't know their history, sometimes accidents can happen. Don't worry, it's quite curable, but I wouldn't know. I'm not doctor.
But I don't understand, because I only was with my boyfriend. He's the only guy I've ever been with, and I didn't think he had anything, so he was lying.
Oh, who would that be? Come on, you can tell me. Mordecai, was it him?
Mordecai. I didn't sleep with that jerk.
You didn't sleep with Mordecai?
There is no junk anyway. That's what. That's probably the. He didn't want to when me and Xavier broke up. He didn't want to go to homecoming. And then it's fine. It's fine. It's whatever.
Shut the fuck up. Just drop.
There's just the absolute like stunned expression of how fast that went. Like she is like in she immediately falls silent. She stops crying because like she's in like shock.
And Victoria's gonna like start doing math in her head, like fuck. Okay. Not that she feels bad for Adriana.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, who gave me this bad fucking information? You know? And she thinks back to Mordecai and she's thinking like, empathy. How do I empathy? That's so unfortunate that you guys didn't sleep together. It's quite a charmy, isn't he?
What? What are you talking about?
Don't worry. I believe that you'd be perfectly fine. Don't worry. She hesitates for what she's about to say. I will find out where this disease came from. And she's like, she is like straining through the empathy to try to save her like very rash and mean choice that she did to Adriana.
I mean, I guess it would just only have been, it would have only been my boyfriend, but like, I didn't think he was ever with anybody else. So he was either cheating on me or he lied about it.
He wasn't cheating on you. I know things.
Okay. Oh,
darling.
How do you know that?
I just know things. And I need you to listen to me very carefully. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Whatever they think of you, it doesn't matter. Whatever they say about you, it doesn't matter. In 2 years, 3 years, you will forget this ever happened. It will shock you how much you will forget this ever happened. Do you understand me?
I can't tell if you're being nice or really scared.
And Victoria's like, is it working? Am I being, is this what kindness is? Is this what being nice is? A lion does not concern itself with the opinions of sheep.
So you think I'm a lion?
I will make you one. And to a level, Victoria sincerely means that.
She sort of like wipes herself off. She's like, thanks. That makes me feel a little better.
Okay. Get out of the closet.
She's like, ah! She like, you know, she pressure digitates like the tears off her face and like her makeup back on. And she's trying to like get the like where she was pressure digitates her uniform so it's not as like crumpled and just sort of trying to like.
What color are the school uniforms?
The color of the school uniforms are black and gold.
I would like to, I guess, maybe disguise self.
Yeah.
And I want to give her the power shoulders that I have.
When she like gifts this look to Adriana.
Every spell that Victoria casts comes from a very tense place.
Yeah, which I love.
You know, like I want her to like have to like calm herself, right? And then she's going to take her wand and then she's going to point it at her eyeball and she's going to like draw out a single tear, a long elusive tear. And she's going to like lay it on her outfit and it just makes everything 10 degrees sharper, like a little bit of angle to it.
As you're doing this, there's that kind of like, she doesn't say anything. She just wants you to yell at her, but she's kind of like, there's kind of like, what are you doing? And like the kind of like the shoulder pads sort of elongate and her silhouette gets a little bit sharper. And her shoes didn't really have heels. And now they have like a little bit of a point to them. And she's like, this is cute.
Stiff upper lip, darling. Let them see you sweat. And she's going to walk her to the door, open the door for her, and then close it and see what they say, like on the outside.
You hear the kind of like, hey, everybody, keep it down. And there again, there's that kind of whispering that starts to spread. You hear that the teacher goes over. She's like, Adriana, are you okay? And Adriana's like, yeah, I feel feel better. I'm sorry that I made a scene. She's like, I understand. It's very weird. And you hear on the side where you were hearing her friends talking, like, did Adrian just get, like, a makeover? She looks, like, really intense. It's kind of cute, though. But, like, did she just, like, do, like a power look in the bathroom? It's kind of cool. I don't know if she can pull off those shoulder pads, but, like, it's something.
Victoria is going to start walking. Like,
what is this feeling?
Empathize with them?
And, like, right before Victoria leaves, you hear Adriana goes back to her group, and they're all like, are you okay? Oh, my God, are you okay? She's like, Victoria cheered me up a little bit. And they're like, Victoria cheered you up? And she's like, yeah, like, it was kind of scary, but, like, I don't know. She made me feel kind of better. And they're like, I only just see her, like, say mean things to people. And Adriana's like, yeah, I know. I don't know. It was kind of like, it was mean, but it was like kind of like a cheer, like a, like she yelled at me to like feel better. I don't know. It was kind of nice. And like, that's like the.
Victoria takes a deep breath and walks back to her normal class.
You step inside literally just as the bell rings.
Oh, perfect.
The teacher's like, Victoria, come here, please.
Okay. Victoria is going to put away her very round glasses and then put on some like very like sharp, like with like the angles
and cat eyes,
cat eye glasses, and pack up her stuff and just genuinely as much as she can try to listen to this person that she thinks is beneath her.
Victoria, I just want to talk about what happened today before you go to your next class. I'll write you a pass. It seemed like you and Daphne and Mordecai had a little incident earlier?
No incident. Everything is perfectly fine.
It's interesting because when I asked Daphne what happened, she said something similar. And Mordecai said he felt as though he had caused an issue, but Daphne was crying. And I wanted to just know if you knew anything about that, what happened.
Nope. Victoria's clearly lying, but no. Everything is perfectly fine.
Victoria, I'm sure you know that you are a remarkable young woman.
And?
And your academic achievements, your athletic achievements, your achievements overall are already noticed in this school, even as a sophomore, which is very impressive. And I think as somebody who feels very aware and competent in their everyday actions, I wonder what is the type of legacy you're hoping to leave for yourself at this school.
It's obvious.
It's not to me.
She's going to take off her glasses, like quick, click, put them in her little pocket. You listed so many things about me. You know this, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows this, right?
I would say so. You're very popular, well-known around school.
But yet, there's still a question. Don't you think that's interesting?
No, Victoria, I don't.
And that's, I can do anything I want.
You seem to think so, yes.
And yet you're still wasting my time. Do you really think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I do. Because I think that the legacy that you've decided to leave here, Victoria, is going to leave you a very lonely person.
I don't need anything from anyone. And I will not stop until everyone and everything knows what I can do. There is no stopping. There is no half measure. There is total domination. There is only winning.
What if I had you suspended, Victoria?
What if? And then Victoria's just going to hold eye contact. What if?
I think the teacher kind of sighs after a moment. I can't tell you what kind of person that you want to be, but the kind of person that you're describing isn't the kind of person who's remembered for good reasons. You can leave my classroom now.
Do I know where this man lives?
This woman, you would have to research to find out where she lives, but she's like on magical LinkedIn, probably. The teachers don't necessarily live in the dormitories the way most of the students do.
Damn it. What power do I have over this woman? Can I get her fired? Can I kill her? I'm just kidding.
You can try. DM's favorite words. You can certainly try.
Victoria is conflicted in that there is no letting up until I have total domination of and control over everything of what I want.
Yeah.
And yet, total domination includes this bitch not stepping to me, right?
Yeah.
Victoria just quickly doing the calculations, and then she remembers Adriana, and then she's going to take a step. Thank you for your wonderful consideration. I appreciate, and she's saying this with gritted teeth, all the kind words you have to say about me and my achievements.
Good afternoon, Victoria.
And you could just see like the single bead of sweat, how much mental effort it took to be
polite.
I don't know if you call that kind, but it's like very like empathy is extremely hard for Victoria. It's so hard.
Incredible.
Just gonna walk away and find Adriana.
You find Adriana at lunch and she seems much peppier. I mean, she still is a little bit like,
it was really embarrassing for this to happen in front of everybody, but you know, I think what I hope is it makes people more willing to talk about themselves and not feel ashamed about the stigma of sexually transmitted disease. Hey, Victoria.
Walk with me. And she doesn't even stop.
Okay. And she kind of like hops down and walks alongside you as you power walk.
Victoria is going to clock everyone's reactions when Adriana is near her, as opposed to like how they're different from when she's alone. What is the response difference?
Really interesting. It's like a mass insight check, really, is what you're doing. So a perception check, but an insight, whichever is better for you.
It's a 6 + 2. It's an 8. Ugh.
What you notice is people are looking at you more. You always get glances, but people's eyes are following you in a way that is not always.
Who's the person that gave me the bad info about Mordecai and Adriana?
Steffi had texted that what she had texted was Adriana had asked Mordecai to the dance and that he said no and she told everyone he had no junk. So technically it was
Victoria's mistake. But would she ever make a mistake? Is the question. It's hard playing it as a mistake, knowing it's a mistake, but like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but I like the idea that like something in that interaction flustered her to make a mistake, which she usually doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And whether Victoria would admit it was a misread thing or not is also...
She 100% fucked up and she will never admit it. It's always someone else's.
But it was Steffi who had sent the texts.
What is Steffi wearing?
It's the uniform. But what you do notice is she has the little purple badge on that she looks a little better to you than she usually does because she's using that cantrip that is like a...
I rip it off.
Victoria, what the hell?
What does she look like now?
She looks herself, but a little plainer. Like the things that you were noticing about her, like, oh, she looked kind of brighter today. She was like, there was something a little bit like luminescent about the way that she was. Her hair was like... bouncing in a cute way. Like those things are, you're not noticing those things anymore. It's just like regular old fucking Steffi.
I'm going to take out my wand very slowly and just point it at Steffi's eye.
What? What the hell? What did I do?
And she's just going to turn it like slowly into her, like not into her eyeball, but like just closer to her eyeball.
Hey, just quit it. What the hell? Stop.
And she's going to with her other hand, point at the bat, like has the badge. And she's gonna crush it in her hand.
Well,
don't ever lie to me again.
And Adriana's like, what is
nothing, nothing, dear, nothing. Let me introduce you to my friends. This is, and just like completely like switch over, like Adriana, here is Steffi, my close and personal friend, and Tegan.
Tegan's like, hey, you and, don't you, like, kind of, like, glances from you to Adriana, like, knowing the text thread that you've had, and, like...
Death stare. Don't say anything.
I've heard nothing but great things about you, Adriana.
Haven't we all?
Mm-hmm.
Look, our good friend Adriana needs our help. I say we give her a little, you know, push in the right direction. How does that sound, everyone?
Oh my gosh, of course. We would love to help you out, Adriana. What can we help you with?
First, let's give her a haircut. Something.
I look at Steffi.
More bouncy. Get her suit tailored. Make her look sharp. And get her some heels. Better ones. Preferably with red bottoms. How does that sound, Adriana?
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, okay, 100%. Yeah, sure.
Excellent. I'll meet you at my house after school. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, you don't live on campus, right? You have your own place?
That is true. You know where I live, don't you?
And then Tegan's like, puts her arm around her shoulder and is like, we will make sure you get there. It'll be totally fine. Like, we go there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And Victoria's gonna walk away. And if I see someone with another badge, I'm gonna take it again. And Victoria is going to go, when class goes, like the next class happens, she's gonna go to the locker room when no one is looking, when no one's there. And she's gonna take the badge and she's gonna put it on her chest and look in the mirror and sees what she sees.
What Victoria sees isn't so different from how she usually looks, because it's not the power, it's not the strength, it's not the force of herself that makes her unapproachable. But she sees herself, there's a softness in her eyes and in her expression that's not usually there. The way her shoulders are always so tense and high up, her posture is more relaxed. Her smile is natural. Her smile isn't forced. There isn't the tension in her jaw that's there. The version of herself that she finds most attractive is a version of herself that doesn't need to pretend to be soft to elicit that in others.
She's gonna look at it. And just for a good long minute, just like meet her eyes in the mirror and still looking at herself, take the badge off and sees her back, herself back to normal.
What she sees in that expression, it's interesting, because as she looks at herself, do you feel when she looks at that version of herself, there is the calculation of how do I become that? Is there a longing? Is there a, what is the main emotion that she feels as she looks at this version of herself?
She looks at herself and thinks it's not good enough.
And when she takes the badge off, there is a hardness in her expression, as if when you look at yourself, it's as if it's a judgment for that version of being too weak. You are a predator and the person you saw in the mirror is easy prey.
She's gonna marinate on that, put the badge on her, you know? And she just like takes her hands with like her very sharp nails, you know? And just kind of just like takes her hands and like pushes her hair back, you know? Digging her nails into her scalp. Takes a deep breath, fix her ponytail, and just walks out of the locker room and finishes the day and goes home and like tries to prepare for Adriana to see what she needs to do, who she needs to be like.
Still wearing the badge or not wearing the badge?
Not wearing the badge. She would never let anyone know that she has the badge.
How does Victoria make her place what she feels like will be ready for Adriana coming over?
I imagine that it's a very sterile environment. The house is like, the inside's very like full of marble. And Victoria's idea of warmness or like approachableness is probably like, I light $1,000 candle.
It's like, here's how much money I have and I'm spending it on you. So that's my show of connection. She sets up and you know that there's going to be somebody in your apartment. There could be people in your apartment who don't usually fit your standards of even the people that you consider your friends are probably almost more utilitarian than they are confidants. You get ready for bed. You think on this interaction with Adriana, this interaction with your teacher and this interaction with Mordecai, and you're crystal goes off as you're getting ready for bed. It's just a message. Shouldn't have called you a bitch.
She's looking at herself in the mirror and she has the stone or crystal in her hand. She takes the badge and she puts it on and looks herself in the mirror. She studies what she looks like and then she takes it off. She then picks up the crystal and types, "Who is this?"
Thank you for listening to this episode of What Happened to the Malachite Wastes. Each of our adventures are spontaneous tales from our guide, Isabella Z. Vergun, and our marvelous guest, Victoria Tenser, played by Justin Jordan. Justin is a prolific video producer and content creator based in Columbus, Ohio. You can hear him perform on such shows as Dungeons & Demigods, a Percy Jackson-inspired actual play, and the Still Scrolling podcast, a deep dive into the headlines of pop culture and entertainment. You can follow Justin on multiple social media platforms at Freddy's Roommate. This show is produced by Annalise Fisher. Our sound team is run by our audio lead, Nate Klayman, and Nicholas Kirshner as our additional dialogue editor. Our music was created and produced by our composer, Ryan Tucker. Our art team is led by our art director, Chris Gargoyle Pastures, and features our incredible artists, Caroline Gendron and Anna Renee Chavez. Our team would not be complete without the hard work of our social media manager, Frankie Gula, our Lord Keepers, Kyler Carter and Brandy Allaire, and our server warlock, Alex Glicka. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Malachite Wastes, or join us on the official Malachite Wastes Discord server to see more of their amazing contributions. If you'd like to support our team and the work that they do, please consider subscribing to our Patreon, where you can find all kinds of cool bonus content, like Session Zeros, Patreon-exclusive interviews, and sketches, sneak peeks at upcoming arts, and so much more. You can find all of our incredible team's individual work linked in the episode description below.